Chonilla.
Welcome to the Interracial John Podcast. This is your host, Leslie Mack. I'm joined, as always,
by a very white guy.
And this is a momentous day on the John. We have our friends from the Great White North. Chonilla.com is in the house. What's up, Charlaine Close?
Upper Americans.
What's going on, guys?
What up? Hey, could you hear the intro music playing? Could you hear that?
Oh, yeah. We were singing along.
All right, just making sure.
You were singing along, and I was laughing my head off. It never fails. When there's reggae or hip-hop, Cloves knows the lyrics.
That's good. That's
funny
good
to me, because he's white guy, but he knows all this stuff. And I have no clue, and I'm a black girl. I should know this stuff.
This is why him and Drew get along so well, because that is Drew.
That's my wheelhouse. That's my lane.
He only in the car. That's the only XM station he puts on.
Reggae all the time. The joint.
24/7.
I do want to just, before we get too started, give a shout out and say thank you, Clove. You know, we've been having a lot of guests on the show. We've been guesting on some other shows, doing a lot of podcast stuff. And I just feel like there needs to be more white male perspective. There wasn't enough white male opinion on matters of race.
I know.
And, I feel like, in fact, there may be a war on white men. I've been genocided on my own podcast. White male podcast genocide. So thank you for joining us.
We're falling off in crazy numbers.
Yes, and in importance.
Back of a milk carton.
Where have all the white men gone? Yeah. If you're just joining us for the first time, you can find us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Just search Interracial John. That's J-A-W-N. You can find us also on our website, interracialjohn.com, and on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, at Interracial John. Again, J-A-W-N. Do you guys know what John means? Have we talked to you about that before?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so you guys are all in the know.
Philly's version of joint.
That's right. That is the Philly
on
version
the nose.
Of joint. That's
right. Over saying it all the time.
That's my job.
Yes.
That's my John.
Yes.
And so real quick, before we even get started, just tell everybody where they can find your show and all of that too, please.
You can find our podcast at chonilla.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Clovisaurus.
And me on Twitter at Shirasaurus. Or you could follow the show at Chonilla.
Mm-hmm.
You can Google us. So that way you can know where to find us on all the different podcatchers like iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, you name it.
And if you're addicted to Facebook, you can find us on Facebook. Which is, what's the Facebook, the members? The
Chonilla Forum?
Yes, the forum.
Yeah. I love the forum.
Just search Chonilla Forum and you'll have an eclectic amount of information.
Yes.
It runs the gamut.
Yes, it does.
Highly recommend. They're fucking hilarious, you two are. Yes. You guys see that? You crack me up. I really do.
All right, well, let's get started, Drew.
Let's do it.
The news is coming on. The news is... Come on.
So, that's our niece, Zizi. She was here giving us some sound bites.
Yeah, we stole that from
we
you guys.
We stole that from you guys. I was like, oh, kids. Yeah, we have kids, man. Let's just throw these kids up here.
Here, hold on.
I'm going to give your niece a hug.
She is the funniest. She's only 4, not even 5 yet, and she cracks me up. She's so funny. And I put the headphones on her. As soon as she heard her voice, she couldn't stop talking.
Oh.
So cute.
I love the bell.
Every time you hear the bell, that's her ringing.
Yeah,
it.
Totally.
Yes.
She rings the bell. She was hilarious.
Although, and I'm sure we'll have reason to play it, but this was our other niece, Zoe.
White people.
That was the best ever.
We were giving her like stage directions.
We
She's like, what?
Side,
like,
no, side
I got,
bigger.
I got
side
really
bigger.
Irritated. Like, right, and she totally got it. She got into it.
Her face and everything was great. Wonderful.
Love it.
Oh, so funny. So, history was made this past week. In the Women's Division I NCAA Championship, three African-American swimmers took the top three finishes, gold, silver, and bronze, in the 100-meter freestyle at the Division I Championships this week.
Good ding for that.
So we'll give them a quick ding. Shout out to Simone Manuel, who set an NCAA American U.S. Open Championship and pool record in her win. Her Stanford teammate Leah Neal came in second place. She also won a bronze in the 4x100 relay at the Olympic Games in London. And in third, University of Florida's Natalie Hines, who set her own school record during the event in competition. So just fucking black excellence all up and through.
That's that war on whites.
now we're in the black pool, bitches. Swimming? Black people are swimming
now. Oh. White people, you better not
qualify for a medal.
Nope.
How's it going on?
All black everything.
Speaking of all black everything, did you guys hear or read the, I don't even want to say it, but Deadline Hollywood had this ridiculous article about too many ethnic castings?
I got caught up on it just before the show,
you hear something like that and you're like,
Dude, the fact.
I can't. So there was a couple of good reaction articles. Awesomely Lovey, shout out. She's online, L-U-V-V-I-E, Lovey, had a really great article. But there was one you said, Leslie, that had pulled out the 13 worst quotes, most ignorant quotes. This on Vulture magazine. You want to just grab a couple, Leslie? What do you think here?
Sure, we can do that.
However, because of a mandate from the studio and network, one of the roles had to be diverse. That's set in conflict. So the pilot could only cast one of the top choices and pass on the other to fulfill an ethnic quota. That was in the article. If you're truly in the mind that Hollywood now has some sort of ethnic quota to fill, given Morty still only make up about 5% of lead roles on TV shows, you know, the fuck.
Yeah, this is complete bullshit.
The quota is 5%?
Is that what the quota? What kind of quota is that? I don't know. How diverse is TV in Canada? Do you guys mostly watch American shows?
Yeah. And the CRTC, which is kind of like your version of FCC, I guess?
Okay.
Yeah. Has kind of loosened up a bit because, you know, they're really hardcore on like minimizing as much as possible American, because we are inundated with
Everybody is, aren't they? I think.
Yeah. Every once in a while you'll see like a government funded, you know, television program that is clearly like there was a show called A Kink in My Hair. And that was about a black hair salon. And there was a show called The Little Mosque on the Prairie.
That did really well. A Muslim family.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That did really was received very well, actually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of died down, those kind of shows. And you see it more in Ontario, I find, well, particularly Toronto. Quebec, surprisingly, and it's unfortunate.
No, they still do blackface in Quebec.
Right, I was going to say, they still do blackface, so there's that.
It's not very, it's very difficult. I mean, we had a lady actually on our show who's an actress, Michaela, and it's very, very hard being an actress, let alone minority actress. So,
yep.
The work, there's a lot of work to do here.
What do you mean by they still do blackface?
I mean, on TV, they have people on blackface.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like they think it's funny to pretend to be a black person and put on like an Afro wig.
If you don't have the blackface, then they'll be fully dressed. The stereotype of what they think a black person is
is this on like TV soap operas or like main?
Oh, like late night type of TV shows, late night talk.
Like sketch comedy. Okay.
SCTV, that kind of shit?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a problem. Especially in Quebec.
There's an advertisement that I saw in the subway. I think it was when we first moved here, and it was about getting a payday loan, right? Oh, and you know those payday loan spots?
Yeah.
It was a white dude, but basically he was saying, I just got my payday loan, but he was wearing an afro, like a big afro wig.
Oh, I forgot
and
about
gold
that.
Chains.
This was a printed ad?
What's that?
Yes. It was a printed ad, wow.
And it was clearly a white dude wearing an afro.
Right while we're talking, but
wow.
I'll see if I can find it. it's like, what the fuck?
You're right. That's kind of astounding. I'm sorry.
But it's kind of ironic because almost every American show is filmed in Canada.
Yeah.
So technically they're all Canadian, really. I mean, if you really think about it.
Yeah.
They were filmed there. It's like Vancouver. Jesse Williams always tells these like crazy stories about some movie. He was filming, I think, Cabin in the Woods in Vancouver. And, you know, there's this one hotel where all the actors that film in Vancouver all stay. And Tom Berenger was his across the hall neighbor. Yeah. And so they always were like running into each other constantly. And he felt like he had, like, Tom Berenger was his roommate for like 7 months or something. And you don't know, you never know who would be like down in the bar, be all these like random actors always in there all the time. So it's kind of funny.
Tom Berenger. Is that Sniper?
Yeah. And here in Canada, we don't have the, you know, we don't have organizations like the, you know, any type of NAACP or anything like that to kind of help push, hey, bring more, you know, more variety, more black folks, more whatever. There's not a lot of that.
More non-whiteness.
Yeah, let's minimize the non-whiteness on television or theater or any type of entertainment things.
Our media is very much like the United States, that it doesn't reflect its populace very well.
I'd say even more. Even more.
Mm. There was just a Color of Change as an organization that had a report maybe like some of the last week or two where they're big into like research and data gathering, and they studied nightly news, like all major networks in, I think, New York City for a pretty extended period of time. And they found that, and I mean, not found, it's like, oh, not surprising. But they have a metric that the actual news would report and represent crime as a function of the amount of time spent for black people disproportionately by a factor of like 20% more than actual crime committed by black people. So if you were to watch the news based on the amount of time that you hear about black criminals, you make an assumption that black people are responsible for at least 20% more crime than otherwise, because they're overrepresented in the news versus the actuality of the criminal statistics. You know, it's not surprising at all. And that kind of shit happens constantly.
All the time. I actually don't want to dwell too much more on this, but I just want to read just like two more quotes from the article.
Oh, we will be dwelling on this.
Oh, my gosh. Because of the sudden flood of roles for ethnic actors after years of suppressed opportunities for them, the talent pool of experienced minority performers, especially in the younger range, is pretty limited, quote. So basically they're like, yeah, the black actors, they're not that talented.
Is that what they're saying? We've expanded. We're you know, this racial diversity.
Now we're first to take these idiots.
It's so expanded so suddenly that now we have poor pool of talent.
Horrible, really? Because black people can't act. Everybody knows that.
Especially when they're young, right?
Especially then. Because, you know, because white young people are able to be more talented than young people of color, apparently. I don't know.
Well, clearly, because we're being forced as white people to be inclusive, so it's not representative of your best.
That was one of the other arguments, was that Uncle Buck and Love is a Four-Letter Word were among projects that were originally white protagonists. They've been changed to black people. But, you know, never mind the fucking thousands of times Hollywood takes roles on real life, you know, non-white people and makes
like
them white.
Like Christian Bale as Moses, because that makes sense.
The entire
cast. That's so messed up. You know, the other day we were watching
Russell Crowe as Noah.
Russell Crowe as Noah.
Tom Cruise as The Last Samurai.
It made me think of when a person, somebody I know, made that comment about, you know, I like my Aunt Annie white because that's what I recognize her as. And I was like, what the fuck? Okay. I was like, I love
like
you.
My Annie White.
And then you're a cool person. Yeah. But that's really fucked up, what you just said.
It's fucked up on so many levels. And also shows they don't even know anything about Annie. Annie was made redhead and freckled because of anti-Irish sentiment at the time she was produced. It was meant to evoke sympathy and empathy for a marginalized group of people in its inception. So
she should be fucking
talking
black.
About.
Right. Yeah. So
He just likes his oppressed people to be white, redheaded people. He feels guilty watching a black Annie.
And he's like, but I'm just not used to seeing Annie, you know, black and things like that. I was like,
nothing is being taken away from you. Like,
that's what I was saying. I was like, first of all, Annie is not real. Let's put, you know, it's not somebody who, like, some girl named Annie wrote a book about herself and her life. That she grew up in an orphanage and blah, blah, blah.
This is a Little House on the Prairie. It's not Laura Ingalls Wilder
turned
black.
I said, yeah, and I think I made a comment. So I was mentioning that she's fictional, and I said, but I can understand because it's so frustrating, right? Like Cleopatra being played by Elizabeth Taylor, you know, who happens to be a real person, but that person is not a proper representation of who she was. She wasn't white, you know what I mean? So, but it made me think because we watched Annie. It was like our family movie night.
Sure.
And I wish that guy would see the faces of my girls when they saw her. The fact that they could recognize themselves looking at her. It was it was an amazing thing because my Annie that I've seen and grow up is not the Annie that they're seeing right now.
Right.
And it was an amazing experience to see themselves just like they were just so – right away, the song started kicking in, and you know what I mean? For them, they're like,
it was awesome. That's awesome.
We took our whole family, too.
Yeah, we had a whole row.
14 of us went.
The theater.
We took up two whole rows at the theater. We weren't playing Christmas. Christmas Day, we went.
You know what, though? People are so stupid with that shit. Hunger Games came out, and Rue, who's like described in the book as like, you know, coming from one of the districts that was, you know, predominantly black. Like she's described as, you know,
dark skin. I didn't say black.
And she's cast, and I think it was even, you know, maybe a biracial young actress. People had a fucking heart attack. Like it was so stupid. Like, come on.
And my whole thing about that is like, so after the apocalypse happens, there's no more black people? Because otherwise, that's what you're saying. I mean, really.
Is that what you're hoping?
Yeah, the long-term plan of white people.
Exactly. Yeah.
My thing with Annie is like, and I dig it. Like, I understand that like you watched the movie and that was like maybe like you had some family thing. Like, but like, are you really coming out as like that hardcore of an Annie fanboy that you're going to decry? Like, seriously, are you willing to do that? Like, the original Annie. I will forever, God damn it. Like, you're that ready to like... Annie, that's the battle you're picking? Okay.
Yeah, Annie is white. Everybody needs to deal with it.
It was just sad to see someone who I feel is, let alone knowing his background and everything, and he knows the idea of having some form of oppression. Was interesting to hear something like that. It was shocking to me because it's like, wow, you're really into that white privilege. Yeah. You have no idea, you know?
Drinking that Kool-Aid.
Drew had that situation with a very liberal friend of ours, and he was really
kind of broke me, dude.
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie.
It's me, and he was like, I just can't believe it. I'm so shocked. And I said, yeah, you definitely give white people entirely too much credit because you shouldn't be surprised.
I shouldn't, but it really kind of, the disappointment in it was... Yes. I was really just like taken aback. I was like, God, I can't believe you just said that. It really was like, I can't believe you know me and my wife and you just said that. I can't believe it. Yeah. I can't believe it.
It's hard. Not privilege. It's a hell of a drug, as I always say. It's very, very powerful.
It's a hard thing to, I think, look outside of. Like, it's weird, but it's kind of like the curse of power. You won't know what the anyone else's experience is. You won't even be open to it. You'll just assume that each experience is the same. You know what I mean? Like, I hear some pretty privileged shit people say sometimes, and it's not so much shocking, but it's like, okay, you just haven't learned yet.
Yeah,
you just don't know what's going on yet.
You know, and I vacillate. I had that for a long time. Leslie and I would have this argument, like, how many, you know, what percentage of white people are just uninformed, you know, ignorant in the truer sense of the word, like they just don't know, versus how many are like, you know, deliberately, willfully denying, versus so forth and so on. And all the times we've had that discussion, I've over time kind of evolved my own position, and
Did I say the first time?
He said like 2% are uninformed.
2% are uninformed.
98%.
The rest of y'all need Jesus.
So, but my more current stance is even if it is uninformed, it's still a choice. They've chosen to be uninformed. They've chosen not to expand their understanding. They've chosen not to expand their contact with people other than, you know, they've segregated themselves physically in some places, and online certainly they've segregated themselves. So it's still, there's choice. It's still willful on some level.
Yeah,
I agree. It's like with power comes arrogance, and with arrogance comes the feeling that you don't need to learn anything anymore.
Yeah,
that's very true. true.
So true. When we were, when I was at Amnesty International last weekend, this woman got up, this white woman, to ask a question, actually after that guy totally just showed his ass and showed his white privilege. And she was like, I just think, you know, segregation is a really big problem. She was from Philly too, Drew. And that's why, you know, when my kids, she was white. She's like, when my kids never come in contact with anybody, any black people or people of color their entire childhood. And then they're expected, you know, then it gets awkward when they actually have to be in contact with each other. And, you know, segregation is such a big piece of it. And the panel was like, yeah, you're right. So why aren't you living where black people are? Like, straight up.
Move.
She's like, you're a parent, so you can decide what your school does and doesn't do. Like, seriously, like, you're up here telling us that segregation is bad, and like, yep. So what part are you playing? Where'd you move to? Where'd you buy your house at? You've been okay with income being tied to education funds. You didn't protest that though. Like, come on, man. Don't step in here and try and like. Oh,
well, doesn't everybody have those kind of funds?
Yeah.
Did you guys see the dude going to the panel with a bunch of like comedians, Jay Smooth and Amer, that did the reverse racism bit,
Francesca Lee.
Yeah. And he gets up and he starts like, first of all, he's there for like an hour and a bit, listens to the whole panel, and then he gets up and like goes all like ignorant, like, what does he say, Leslie?
He
proclaims.
He said that all of the panelists were
racist.
Polarizing.
Polarizing.
And that, you know, race is just a construct.
Oh, that's right.
And all the different races are just mutations. And this is ridiculous to even be talking about it in these kinds of terms.
So
he proceeded to.
This isn't a question. It's a Q&A, but he throws
just
this statement.
Spews all of this bullshit and then stands up, puts on a scarf and a full length fur coat and walks out of the event.
Fur coat.
Full length.
That was the best.
The video of him getting up, you can hear like, oh my God, it's a fur coat. A fucking fur coat. Out of control. We called our last episode White Privilege in a Fur Coat because of that, because it was really like, just, if only white privilege would just come draped in a fur coat, we have a visual fucking clue and everybody could see it. Like, just, oh, look at that, fur coat's on, white privilege, here it comes.
I'm going to put a friend on blast that's a friend of the family who had, for years and years, had a fur, and she would talk about the fur and like, oh, the fur, don't lose the fur. It was like a stole kind of fur thing. And then sold a business and came into shrewdly. Shout out to her. Shrewdly came into a bunch
of
money.
She's a little, like, I wouldn't say ditzy, but she can come off that way.
Yeah.
And so her
flighty.
Flighty. That's a better descriptor for her. She's an older woman. You know, she's retired and everything now. But they went to sell the business, and her husband's like, oh, hey, can you know, just need you to sign these papers. You know, we're getting everything together. She's like, oh, okay. So the next morning, he gets up, comes downstairs, and she's like, oh, I read these papers over, and it seems like you can't sell the business without my signature. And he's like, yeah, I mean, it's both of our business. And she's like, well, I'm going to need $1 million in a separate account that I only have access to. And he was like, what the fuck just happened here?
Wow.
Just like, boom. She had, I picture her like with her glasses on.
Yeah, dude.
Like him coming down the stairs thinking like, la, la, la. And she's like, so let's have a talk. It's time for me to get
paid. I respect it.
Anyway,
she makes this shrewd move. She tells my mom, who's like a very good friend of her, like, oh, I'm gonna get a fur. I'm gonna get a mink. And she's like, well, I thought you already had a fur. She goes, oh,
that's rabbit. Wow. But meanwhile, for 30 years, she'd been like, oh, I can't get my mink wet. I can't get my mink. And it was a rabbit this whole time. Hilarious.
If only white privilege came in a rabbit fur coat.
Rabbit fur coat. It didn't look real, so I was willing to say that it wasn't.
That should be the prize for like doing the white privilege survey.
Yeah.
So if you actually if you succeed in the white privilege survey, meaning that you don't understand what white privilege is and you don't see a problem, then you get a fur coat.
A mink stole.
Nice. Yes, that would be perfect.
Everybody knows exactly where you stand.
I don't think there's enough furs in the world.
I don't think there is either. Definitely not enough rabbits in the world, I'll tell you that much.
It'd have to be like a swatch of polyester or something.
For sure.
A lucky rabbit's foot then.
A lucky rabbit's foot.
Yes. Yeah. So did you guys see anything else in the article that was of interest to you, you wanted to mention or anything? I don't want to dwell on too much because I really...
What's that?
I don't know. What was
that? Sounds like an explosion.
Yeah. What was that?
I don't know what that was.
Something's playing.
Oh, okay. Well, I think
the ethnic quota that I saw that too was pretty much like,
just like, what? It's like completely delusional. Who writes these things and then publishes them? That's the thing I don't get. It's
they just don't get it. They baffling. Literally, like, they're, oh, their stance. And I empathize with it because I was there. You know, I was there in that position where I just didn't see what was going on. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. there's you say who publishes them. We didn't talk about it on our last show, and I don't want to talk about it too much, but the fucking Lena Dunham published this, like, is it my boyfriend or my Jewish boyfriend or my dog? And then had a bunch of, like, statements and said it was published in The New Yorker. And they're like, oh, it's satire. I'm like, yeah, but you're asking people to think, is it a Jewish boyfriend or a dog? Like, that's not satire, I think, that needs to be done. Like, hipster, like, anti-Semitism, like, right. no thanks.
But she's Jewish.
It's still not.
I'm joking, of course. Oh, sarcasm, because I think that's ridiculous.
Is she? I don't know.
She is Jewish, but hardly has any bearing.
Mm. Well, the Anti-Defamation League has something to say about
that's
it.
That's what the New Yorker's response was. You know, she's a Jewish comic, and, you know, this is in the same vein as Lenny Bruce and Larry David, and, you know, it's like black people with Richard Pryor and Chris Rock, and it's like, don't bring black people into this, first of all. You can just leave us the fuck out. We don't have anything to do with Lena Dunham, and everybody knows.
Well,
that.
You show me the Chris Rock bit where he's talking about, is it my black, you know, wife or a fucking dog? Then I'm like, okay, right. Touche, fine. That doesn't fucking exist. So
you're right. I'm agreeing with you. It's a ridiculous, you know, comparison. Of course.
Can I just really with everything Lena Dunham from now on?
Yeah. White people.
Yeah.
And I don't have it, but, like, if I had a thing, I'd be like, just fuck her. I don't think she's funny. I don't like her.
Okay, take it down. You got a lot of hatred for her.
I do. I just, I'm not.
Good Lord.
I'm not into her.
Okay. You don't have to be.
Trying to see her face. Lena Dunham.
She's
on that HBO
that
show.
Girls show. Yeah. And she was just on Scandal. I don't know if you guys
watched. She got short hair?
She does. Yes. Now she does. She didn't always, but yeah.
Okay, I see who that is. I see you, Lena Dunham.
Poster girl for hipster gentrification in Brooklyn. It's awesome.
Yes.
So this week, Fortune named its the world's 50 greatest leaders. And at number 11 came one Jonetta Elzy and DeRay McKesson, prominent voices for nonviolent protest in Ferguson, Missouri, after the fatal shooting of Mike Brown by police in Ferguson. McKesson left his school administrator job. He worked for Teach for America, FYI, in Minneapolis to protest in St. Louis. He met Elzy at a medic training on how to respond to tear gas, and together they began to chronicle events in the shooting's wake as they unfolded with breakneck speed. Their award-winning online newsletter, This Is the Movement, now has some 15,000 subscribers, and the two reach another 100,000 followers via Twitter. Quote, my role here is just to amplify the message, McKesson tells Fortune. We are two of many people, end quote.
Well said.
Yes.
Very, very awesome.
Very cool. Now, I'm wondering, and I actually told DeRay this, I'm wondering if, did they get the email and phone numbers for all the other 50 people on the list? Because I'm feeling like some of these people could definitely be useful in the Black Lives Matter movement, just saying.
Why would they give the emails to the other people on the list?
Why not? I mean, if you're on the list, it's only 50 of you. I mean, it's got to be some kind of club or something.
I don't think they like
it. I mean, Howard Schultz is at number 17 alone.
If coming in on this list means, like, spam, I don't know if that's exactly, like,
I'm not saying it's spam. It's just these 50 people.
Right.
51, I guess, because they're two people.
Well, you know, there's, like, a secret, like, rich person's Facebook and shit.
Yeah, I mean, Elon Musk is on here. Come on, man. Zuckerberg is on here. Yao Ming is on here. Come on. Just saying.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
From black excellence to new black failure.
Mm. Who's new black failure?
Raven Simone.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that. Oh, my God. Honest to gosh.
She just got to stop talking.
But the thing is, I think it's fake. I think she's doing all this on purpose.
You did say you think she's trolling. Because who knew shit about her?
Talking about Raven Simone before she said she wasn't black on Oprah. And now every month it's something, other dumb shit she's saying. Now she's getting jobs all over the place. She was just on Empire. Now she's going to be on Blackish. I just feel like it's a little suspicious. Nobody was even.
You think it's all planned. You think she's purposely like.
I think that may. Trolling. Yeah. I mean, Oprah literally was like, girl, you better clarify yourself. And she was like, nah, I'm going to double down on this stupid. Like, really.
And then when she doubled down, Oprah's like, Twitter's going to have a field day.
Twitter's going to have a field day with you. I mean.
I'm so glad
that wasn't live.
I watched this video when you shared it, Leslie, because I was watching it and I was like, oh my God, this she said completely
Africa and the different continents in Africa and right. the different continents
every
in
single,
Europe.
Every single like, continent in Africa.
So bad. So,
but this really, really validated for me that just because you're on TV in some kind of form does not mean you are smart. Those
sure
two
so that's what
true.
Together.
If you heard the show we were on, we recorded Wednesday with Ijoma, we were talking about a little bit of this. And Leslie's espoused or hypothesized that, or maybe it was Joma that hypothesized it, that
she's just dumb.
That she's not smart because she was a young child on the studio and they had, like, you know, whatever teaching, whatever's come in for 2 hours a day.
But
and
I
that
don't
was
buy
school.
That. Especially because she wasn't on it that long. And I will say maybe after she left there, it hasn't been good because she was like on the Disney Channel and Lord knows they've turned out some right fucked up chicks.
Well, like you said, I think Rudy has an advanced degree in shit.
She does.
Yeah, and look at Malika. Oh, God, what's her last name from Blossom. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Miami.
Oh, yeah, she's
Alex.
Got like a PhD
she's
in like mathematics.
And
shit.
Winnie Cooper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right about that.
She's yeah, got like a PhD in mathematics or something. The fuck? Exactly. So I don't buy this whole set business. And again, I just think it's just a little bit. It's become very cool to be this new black and get like these weird things. Let's play the Africa piece.
I can't remember who said this quote, but they said, if a child can win an award for what you do.
Was that Alec Baldwin?
I can't remember.
No.
Sounds about that. Alec Baldwin.
What'd you say?
It was just along the lines of a child can win an award for something that you do for a living. It just says something about what you do for a living.
That's the truth, though. So true. Stop, so true. Stop. So true.
I don't have that queued up. Right? Oh, you're supposed to have that. Right here. Raven Simone.
Michelle Obama looks like a little cat. Were you surprised that people...
Turn that up.
Do you feel like they misinterpreted what you said, or were you surprised that people got so much pickup?
I think that every time there's something dealing with race that is still an open wound and you try to look at it from a different standpoint, people are going to get mad.
Yeah. Right there, that's how I know she's trolling us. You hear what she said?
Anytime you say that, people get
anytime
mad.
You take a different stance, people are going to do X, Y, Z. This means she knows the outcome of these things she's saying. She's very aware of it.
Yeah,
that's very cogent. Mm-hmm. Right there, and it's very telling.
Leslie's like, I'm going to take
I'm telling you.
Word by word.
She thinks she's slick, and I'm not having it.
Mm-hmm. Three steps ahead of you, Raven.
Yeah,
blasted,
Raven.
And people don't read the whole story. Just like a lot.
Bitch, you were on TV. There's no whole story. It was live, and they taped you. What are you talking about right now? They don't know the whole story about what was going on in my crazy-ass head.
And she did that. She did that face too. Like she doesn't want to cast shade or anything. You know what I mean? Like she
does
this weird face. Like I'm just saying.
Like she always goes on like that. If you before this whole comment that she made on Oprah that made her who leveled her up, you could say.
Yep.
That's the way she's always. She always has gone on like that. Okay. Like oh whatever, throwing shades or it's me. I'm Raven and that's me and. Take it for what it is.
Yeah. Gotcha. And it was cute at 15. But
I'm so rich.
Not so cute now. Not so cute. All right, here we go.
My comments. People don't read into the whole story. And so they start making things. And they say that I said this and I said this. And I'm trying to be a different race. But
that's exactly what I was going
to
ask
I'm
you
not
about.
Trying to be.
Let's clarify that.
This reporter is fucking on point, though. Let me just say. She literally was like, I'm going to mention every controversial thing I can. And completely play along and act like what you're saying makes any kind of sense whatsoever.
Right.
It's awesome.
Right. She's like, you just keep talking, Raven.
Go ahead. This is gold. I'm going to get some plays off of this.
I'm glad that you brought it up.
Now that you mentioned that horrible ass shit, let me go into it.
Shout out to Alicia Quarles.
Go ahead.
And also, do you feel like, does it make you want to back away from social media in any sense? Just clarify those comments, like once and for all, put it to bed.
I never said, you're talking about that one? Mm-hmm. I never said I wasn't black, I said I wasn't African American. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's a difference. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know what the difference is. I would have been like,
she don't know the difference. That's why she was like, you know, that the reporter was like, hey, should I ask her? She don't know the answer to that question. I'm not going to ask her. She won't. Right. She don't got an answer for that one. Definitely not.
History.com actually for sending me my DNA test.
I did mine too.
You did yours?
Yeah, I did
it. Isn't it awesome?
It's and history.com. That should get paid.
I am from every continent in Africa, ooh, except for one. And ooh. I'm from every continent in Europe, except for one.
Girl,
Yeah, that's right.
I threw
my pencil.
Boo boo.
I get it. She was nervous. I get it.
I abused my laptop.
First of all, boo-boo. There's a meme going around with a an outline of Africa, and it says "So Raven" in every country, and then two of them, it says "Not Raven."
Stop! Just stop it! I'm dying.
Internet.
Quitters. Every continent.
So Raven.
Every continent. Good Lord.
Lord, indeed.
Good Lord. And like Ancestry.com? What the hell? For real? isn't that the one that's like run by the Church of Latter-day Saints?
Yeah, it's the Mormon
is
one.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. Because yeah, so that's their big thing. That's is their deal. Because you can like backwards baptize people in their religion to like make them Mormon after they already died.
I grew up. This is where I checked out my mission. My Latter-day Saint.
We are doing the Mormon book after the Bible.
Oh my God, no!
Oh yes.
No, no. There's gold plates involved. Just know that.
Card. This is when I was like, this is fucking bullshit.
Oh my gosh, it would be so cool because you could play like songs from the Book of Mormon, the show, like during like because a lot of them match up. They tell the whole story of. John Mormoni in the song play.
When we used to go to Mormon church, my parents got involved.
Wait,
that's why you were talking. You're talking over her, and I tried to say, wait a minute, because she talked about going on mission. She was talking about. I was like, well, it sounds like she was a member of LDS for a little bit.
Yes,
I don't want to put you on the spot, but
no, it's fine,
girl. Let's dish because coming out in like, oh, that's a different. That's Scientology, but anyway, I have a lot of.
Mind you, I was really young,
experience.
So I was a tween and everything, so there's a lot of stuff I just didn't retain or really paid attention to, because it's all about you at that age, right? Mm. But I do remember there's just little things I thought was always weird or strange.
So you didn't,
and I've been to different churches. I used to go to different Sunday schools. I did Jehovah's Witness to Catholic to Pentecostal. Wow. Like,
was this pushed by were your parents going too, or just you exploring?
No, then my parents like, would go too.
Her parents were playing like religious pinball,
religious roulette.
Yeah, religious roulette. I don't know why they did that. I don't know if it was.
And how long were you at LDS?
It felt like whenever we would move to different neighborhoods, they would just go to the closest church. Whatever it is. Oh, I love it.
Church of convenience.
That shit is easy and we can walk to it.
Yeah.
Churches, I need a network of people because I just moved here.
Church is, we need to make sure we find a reputable babysitter quickly.
You went on mission? Like you went through the...
Church of, I'm with you guys now.
Church of, I'm looking for a job. Hook me up.
Church of, who's a good handyman around here?
Church of, who's the car mechanic?
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to get some coffee. You want some?
Yes.
Okay.
So.
Church of the good barista.
Yeah, that's right.
There was just these little hints, you know, when they would always, every service, when they would say, this is the right church, you are so lucky, you've made the right decision, all the other religions have no idea that they're all going to go to hell, and you're the lucky, you're the few lucky ones who through the grace of the Lord, that directed you to the right and true Church of God and things like
that's
that.
The saints part in LDS.
Pardon me?
That's the saints part in LDS.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was that. And this is the day where I remember, I think my parents were involved for at least a little bit longer than myself. Like I think they started going when I was around 10 or 11, and at around 13, that's when I was like, I don't want to go anymore.
Oh, so you never got to the underwear and stuff.
What?
Okay, never mind. Don't worry. That's another thing. The vestments. They're called vestments, but it's underwear.
It was around the age where they were talking to me a lot more about going to become a missionary, and they're grooming me to talk about it more and find out about more information and have you thought about it and where would you like to go and things like that. But before you do that, everyone has to go to, you know, to the church in Utah. And, you know, it's a must-do thing, especially when you're young like that.
And then that's where you would go and check your ancestry. And that's when I knew. I was like, ain't no fucking way you're going to have information on my ancestry. And I'm 13 and I'm like, I already kind of have an idea of my history. I mean, and they're like, I'm thinking, you mean to tell me you have records from Haiti about my ancestors? Get the fuck out of here.
Also, they didn't even let black people into the
church of the 70s.
So I'm really sure they're not going to have any good records beyond that point.
Those are little things that I learned when I was around 13, that, you know, the whole accepting people of different cultures was fairly new, and all of, like, there was a huge, I remember there was a huge push in Montreal, and that's all. When you'd see missionaries walking around the city, that's the first people they would go to is a minority right away.
Immediately.
Like, they had a quota. Like, they were on a mission to, like, oh, my gosh, we need to diversify.
And Leslie, you're not even – you're getting, like, maybe half the story. The book of the John Marani, the book of John Marani, the Mormons, like –
It's the third installation of the Bible in their estimation, like
the Old Testament, the New Testament, and then their book. So
the Mormon book is supposed to be, and that's what they felt why it's true, because it's the words of Jesus. These are things that they have somehow got a hold of it because of John Smith.
It's the golden place,
and it's like his words. Like, this is coming from Jesus.
Well, so those words, as they interpret these golden plates. And I should just preface, if there's people listening to John, I apologize. I'm an anti-theist. I don't think anyone should be religious. I'm not really like atheist so much, but just kind of like anti-theism. But I'm basically a Unitarian Universalist. But the Mormons, for a long time, which because they allowed black people into the temple in the 70s, they had to like erase parts of their scripture and their understanding that taught for many, 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 many years, for 100 plus some odd years, that black people were the descendants of Cain, and that God had set a mark upon them for this sin, and that black people were just like, you know, sinners by nature, and you know, weren't really good people. Like, it wasn't just that like they weren't quote unquote allowed in the church,
but that's
they were thought of as like
bad,
biblically inferior.
You just gave me a flash, because I think we covered that in Sunday school. And
I'm sorry, I'm going to be triggered.
No, not in a bad way. I think I remember hearing something like that, and I felt really weird. And I felt like, what the fuck am I doing here? Mm-hmm. You know, like
wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
Hold up.
They made me feel like just wrong about my color. Mm-hmm. But they were like, but you know, it's old information. We don't believe that. It's just,
we don't believe that anymore.
My boy in high school, he got sent home on mission. He went like somewhere overseas, like somewhere in Europe, and like, you're going back, buddy. You're not ready. And but
yes.
He's now, he won't talk to me. He's cut me out of his life.
When he got back from mission, his parents were like, correct, you can't talk to that dude anymore.
Correct. You and Drew are no more.
You're not simpatico anymore. Correct. No longer friends.
You're no longer friends. So he had to change his ways. But, and I won't say his name. I won't put him totally on blast. But back in the day, he had a black girlfriend. And
she was Jamaican, I think.
She was Jamaican, a West Indian girlfriend.
Speaking of West, so how did your parents react to all of this stuff? Like, did they just, like, next time you guys moved, they just were like, yeah, fuck LDS, we're going to just do something else.
My parents, although we were joking, I think they really did have their
list.
Hook up.
Yeah, they were just like, okay, we're just looking to make some connections here. Don't worry about all that other stuff.
Yeah.
We're trying to survive.
Yeah, LA's going to meet some people, it'll be fine.
Now, they told me they sold Amway or shit.
Yeah, and I mean, I would try to question my parents a few times, like, don't you feel, you know, mom, dad, don't you find that kind of weird? Or like, my parents had an attitude like, hey, man, you know, just take it with a grain of salt.
Right.
It's just look past that. It's about your relationship with God. And this is, we're just doing it. They never kind of gave me a reason why we're doing this, but it did feel like that sense.
Honestly,
I'm
thinking
just looking for connectivity.
Right.
Someday you're going to be like 30, 40 years from now, and you're going to get some weird mail, and you're going to look at it like, oh, this is mom's, this drawer. I've never seen this before. And like, it turns out they're running some Ponzi scheme at every church they went to. Your dad was selling like
Cut it out.
Why were they going from church to church? I don't know.
They just had to do that. It's the retirement plan.
There's an offshore account in the Bermudas with hundreds of thousands of dollars. I don't know what's going on.
And they hit LDS, paid LDS,
paid it out. They did it. They did it. Well, speaking of West Indian parents, I want to play this little ditty for us, this little video here.
West Indian parents at the PTA meeting. What I do is I write the homework down every day on that board. He doesn't copy it. Every day this boy on the game, he telling me I know homework. I gonna mash up that game, you know. He lying. Tomorrow I gonna bust the ass in front of the class. You can't do that. You telling me what I could do with my son? Haitian parents at PTA meetings. Oh. Mr. Baptiste, between him and his friend, what's your friend name again? What friend? Oh, you got friend? You come to school to get friend? The guy that gave him walked out of the class the other day. He leave the class? He's going to turn new leaf tomorrow. Don't I tell you that's the devil. Guy and his parents at PTA meetings. I speak to him all the time. He's with the wrong crowd. This boy don't hear Scott. I tell you, talk to you. You're going to make I fucking kill you. Scott, take my number. Is he mother got he like though? Take my number. If you only cry in here today, you're going to see something. Jamaican parents at PTA meetings. The other day, he takes a kid hat. He throws it across the classroom. I mean, come on. Adatimado, don't tell us that I don't want to teach or give me no bad news. Daddy, no. Mr. Brown, what are you doing? Shut up. What may I do? Now kill this sweet lick. He's very nasty. Nasty, what do you mean by that? He's showing his penis to girls in the class. This is not the first time you do that, you know. You gotta be a fucking Johnny. You might as well drop out of class and just become a porn star, then. But you can't stay in my house. African parents at PTA meetings. He's very smart. He's just not applying himself. Adula, you hear what the teacher say? I knew it. I'm a change. Hey, no, you want to change. I will send you to Nigeria and take away your passport. No. Your tears mean nothing. You will not embarrass me. Panamanian parents at PTA meetings. Really and truly, I don't want him in my class. He's singing I'm in love with the cocoa. I mean, come on. Oh, yeah? What happened, big man? You in love with the fucking cocoa? That what going on? You're going down. That's what happened. But I hate to bring your ass back up. He sings it too. Grenadian parents at PTA meetings. He's throwing paper. He doesn't listen. I don't know what else to do with him. Watch. I know what to do with him, you know. I tell Aliu, Aliu doesn't listen, you know. It starts at home. I tell Aliu that. You're right. Aliu think Aliu is man. I will knock you in your face, you know.
Oh my gosh.
I thought my parents were crazy with the friends thing, but I guess it's a Haitian thing.
Yeah, I guess.
It's so true.
No I friends.
Oh, no
friends.
No.
Can't trust nobody.
You come to school for friends? No.
I don't know if you've seen this guy. He's so funny. Well, hold on.
I got something queued up here for us.
Oh boy, here we go. What do you got queued up?
It'll play.
True.
It's true.
Dame la mano, paloma. I'm in love with Coquito.
Coquito.
I'm in love with Coquito.
Una botella, $20.
I got it for the Lolo. I'm in love with Coquito.
Just because the guy said about the Panamanian.
He's in love with Coquito. Well, he was in love with Coco, but in love with the Coco.
The Coco.
Yeah, that guy's videos are so funny. His accents are so spot on. It's just disturbing to me how he can do so many West Indian accents.
Yeah, I take it he got Haitian dead on.
Yes.
Oh, I missed the Haitian. Damn it.
Oh, yeah. No, he said you go to school to make friends and stuff like that.
He always says whenever he does the Haitian, he goes, I told you, that's the devil. He always says that.
How many times my parents have said that?
That's the devil.
The
he always
devil.
Says that. Yeah.
White people.
Le diable.
Oh. Too funny. Too funny. So a video surfaced of one Iggy Azalea rapping live.
I didn't see that.
Okay. Do you have that?
I've got it queued up. So
yeah, let's just play it.
She mumbles a bit in the beginning, says a couple of things. I'm like maybe a good 20 seconds into, I'm putting serious air quotes on a freestyle rap by Iggy Azalea live. I'm sorry.
Master, she know the pants gonna spin like a pastor. Raptor, bachelor, did like go like that. Your faster, motorbike faster. He gotta get a bitch, pass to the rapture. White bitch, go back to go like a wind. Pass to your rooftop in the wind. When I win, no win. Now with a leg up like she ain't got hoes on call. Got hoes on call, come through, take a protocol. Just damage it, that's my protocol. This many Australians or swords and no camera. I don't care who you are, no killer rap, gotta give it to your role. Bitch, my point, when the pack me enjoy, gotta chooses me, I'm spraying my joy.
Please stop. 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 Please. I'm begging you.
Okay, okay.
Oh my God. The rich rap school of freestyle.
Wow.
What in the fuck
shitty
was that?
Pants? There's a lyric about having shit in her pants.
She said, I shit my pants. Okay. I just...
To me, it sounded like she was... Like she was making sounds like the way that in that game, The Sims. That yeah, like it was kind of like she took random syllables of English and just slammed them together.
Yeah,
and made sure that after each number of syllables that she picked a syllable that rhymed.
Oh,
it was the wind. We now win. Like what? That's not rapping.
That's not even English. There's a little boy in the UK that raps with his dad, and he doesn't speak very much English. He's 2 years old, and he's better than her. Let's hear him for a second, right quick.
So sad. Just.
Here he comes.
The kid's got better flow. He's on beat. He's on beat. He's on beat. He's got better flow.
He's two.
You could feel like the his essence.
He has flow.
Serious about his flow.
I can't believe you just juxtaposed his value with a 2 year old.
He's serious. Like, yes.
Wow.
It's hard. It's hard being two, man.
Come on, man. She's ridiculous. What the hell was that? It wasn't even English.
No.
Here's what I think.
It was literally jibber jabber.
Yeah,
that is the literal translation of jibber jabber.
So bad.
Yes, blah, 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 blah. Thank you.
Yes.
Yes, blah, 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 blah. Thank you.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I had to put that 2 year old up here because he deserves some shine. That's right. He's better than her, so he should be getting played.
It's funny when you're playing Iggy Azalea how quick we all wanted to turn that off.
But stop.
But when you play the 2 year old, it was like, oh my God, keep this on.
Yeah, man. I was like bobbing my head.
I recognized more composed words from him than her.
He said, I'll be with my mom and she'd be over there. He's two. He had like a whole rap he did. Like, really. So yes, Iggy, you stink. Just stop, please.
Let's go on something better.
Am I black enough for you? Am I black enough for you?
Is he sure? Is he black enough for you?
Am I black enough for you?
Who? OBZ, lame duck blackness. Here he comes. So we've been chronicling our president's deep dive down the blackness rabbit hole since he won his second election, and this last 2 years, he has already just been on fleek. We've chronicled many incidents, starting with, him having some words with the gentleman who thought he was trying to steal his
Mike girlfriend.
Mike Jones. All the way through the most recent State of the Union address, where he reminded everybody that he doesn't have both to campaign anymore because he won both of them. He doesn't have to do that anymore. And this week, he decided that he really likes The Wire. It's one of his favorite TV shows, and he wanted to interview the creator of The Wire at the White House. So he just called David up and was like, hey, come on down. We'll record a video, and we'll just, chop it up, talk about the show, what led you to write it, how it mirrors some of the criminal justice reforms that I want to put in place, and, just talk to you because I feel like it because I'm cool and I can do that. I'm the president, so you just got to come when I call you. And he revealed a little tidbit about his personal affinity for The Wire. So, Drew, you have that. Play that.
I do.
Omar's, by the way, my favorite character.
That was the part. I was worried about that when you said it.
Part of what your show depicted, though, is also that there's a generational element to this, right? So you've got entire generations of men being locked up, which means entire generations of boys growing up. Either without a father, or if they see their dad, they're seeing him in prison.
Right. I mean, this is
Obama.
So, Omar. Yeah, just to be clear, that Omar Little on The Wire is a notorious Baltimore stick-up man, frequently robbing street-level drug dealers. He's a legend around Baltimore for his characteristic shotgun, trench coat, facial scar, and habit of whistling the farmer in the Dell when stalking the streets. When people see or hear him coming, they run away and will often warn others by shouting, "Omar coming!" That was our president's favorite character on The Wire. He also is a homosexual, openly, by the way.
I think that
the actor or the character?
The character.
Okay, that's it.
I think the reason why a lot of people identify with Omar is because out of all the characters in The Wire, he is probably the least corruptible. He lives by a code that is his and nobody else's.
Yeah, and he never strays from it either. Like, he's just very, like, that's about a good point. That.
Yeah.
Everybody else did have to compromise themselves.
You're saying because of his, like, he likes that character, that it's kind of like a.
Well, that's one of the reasons that Omar is my favorite
Obama
character.
Obama kind of reflects on having that same type of personality.
Well, I just you admire it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I admire it, and that's one of the reasons that he's one of my favorite characters.
I think A, that you're right. A lot of people like Omar. And I think your hypothesis, or whoever said that, you know, because he's incorruptible comparatively, when everyone else in every other institution, every other form is corrupted, and every other character is not just flawed, but they, you know, their corruption is their downfall.
Yeah.
Interesting. And, you know, Obama says that was his favorite character after the creator David just said that Omar was based on a real person who did this and robbed people for real.
Went to jail for 17 years.
Went to jail for 17 years and came out and wanted to do something better for Baltimore. And it was kind of interesting.
So that was good. Good on you, OBZ.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like him just.
Is that his new street name? I didn't know.
Oh, that's what we call him. In these segments, we call him OBZ. We call him OBZ. Okay. During lame duck blackness, of course, yes.
I'm all for it.
Yes.
I'm all for it.
I'm here for all of that. So we want to talk about you guys, because since you're here. So we're
I didn't do it.
Just chit-chat a bit about...
She starts with, I didn't do it.
I blame Chloe for everything anyway, so it works out well. Works out quite well. So I know you guys have this whole Patreon thing going. So talk to me a little bit about that, how that came about, and kind of what made you go with that platform and interacting with fans that way, because I found it really interesting, and it's not something I haven't interacted with before. So maybe tell us a little about that.
Well, the thing is, when we started kind of asking for money in, because we've always
donations.
Been about it. Yeah.
Money.
Straight up money.
See how we're different?
Yeah. So
give me your
when
money.
We started podcasting, right away we were like, we need to be making money doing this. Like, it felt so good that we needed to always keep that.
We need to monetize.
Yeah, we always needed to keep our eyes on the prize with that. And but we never could find that balance of like transparency, visibility, or like something that made us feel good about giving back information to the people listening to us who wanted to contribute.
And let me just
go ahead.
Don't lose your train. Also,
choo choo. The thought train's leaving, Shirley.
No!
Hurry up.
But also, when we started, well, not when we started, but. You know, the halfway point of doing the podcast 3 years or so, there are a lot of people who are saying, oh, you should do like crowdfunding and stuff like that. And crowdfunding, like the Indiegogos and things like that, it's very project oriented. And we thought, well, what can we do?
What piece of content can we do that's going to, you know, be worth that kind of like contribution?
Right.
And, excuse me. But then when Patreon came along,
It just
spoke really well to the business model that we wanted to have, where we just stayed transparent with everything we did and just were able to have a forum to let everybody know where we're headed, where we're planning to go, how more contributions helps us get there. I mean, we just
There's
needed
a much
that.
More sense of community, too, sort of project-based. It speaks very well for any content creator, someone who continuously creates content on a regular basis, whatever their regular
Chonilla is community driven. You know what I mean? It's gotten to the point where, like, you know, the information that we get is all coming from our community. So it's kind of like this self-sustaining, you know, ecosystem of information that's being traded back and forth. You know, we get our listeners who want to trade information with us and stories with us that they know that if it piques our interest, we're going to deliver it on the show. We're going to talk about it on the show.
Right.
Yeah. So it's kind of like we have this kind of like exchange back and forth, and Patreon really kind of speaks to that. You know, like, this is what you get. This is the community you join when you start to get involved with Chonilla.
Sure. I'm not going to lie. I've pilfered a story or two from the Turn on the forum. I've like waited until like you guys come on Friday night. I'm like, okay, they didn't talk about that. Okay, cool, I can let's talk about this. We can talk about it here.
I'm so glad you said that. But remember too that it's about your take. So even if we spoke about it, our takes are going to be completely different.
Yeah,
so it
totally
doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what you talk about. People are tuning into you to hear how you talk about
it. Yeah.
Yeah, so like if you talk about stuff we've already talked about, like I understand I wouldn't do it either because it would taint my position if I knew somebody else had talked about it. So,
oh,
yeah.
Dude, man, when we started, it was like that. We felt like that with Rod. You know what I mean? It's like,
sure.
He's on every day too. He puts out so much content. Yeah. You know, it's like, if you really wanted to like not do stuff Rod talked about, you'd not talk about anything.
Yeah, I mourned.
I do listen, but you get as a podcaster.
I was in mourning the day that I decided that I couldn't listen to his shows anymore. Because it was like when you're too like-minded like that, it's like when you start talking about things, you start to want to incorporate
what they were saying,
other ideas from your circle of like-minded people. You know what I mean? So it was a real sad day for me when I was like, I can't listen to this show anymore.
Yeah, I have a thing where I'm like, oh, I just listened to that on Rod's show, so it's off our list now. I can't talk about it.
Right.
And just because now whatever I was going to say is now probably altered by listening to them talk about it and whoever else they had on. So it just turns into like, Plus, also with his show, you get to, you can write in and he'll read your comments and things like that on the feedback show. So that makes it like you don't have to necessarily keep quiet per se.
Right.
Which is one of my favorite things about your show on Friday nights is that, you know, we're on the chat room and you guys are so interactive with everybody that's there. And it's a real kind of like, you know, jokes are coming from everybody. And I love that about it. It's just
I appreciate
awesome.
That feedback.
I get scared
because
when we have guests sometimes because I'm like, ooh. I hope they're gonna be good.
I really enjoyed hearing that
the chat room.
Yeah, Leslie, because it's one of the things that with us it's really nice to hear that, but it's something that we've always been organic with. It's something that just we wouldn't be able to do it any other way. Yeah, and the only time that we will out prioritize the chat is when we have a guest either in the studio or on Skype and stuff like that.
Sure.
Because we just want to make sure that we give them our like most attention. Yeah,
absolutely. I think most of your guests that come on.
And that's the reason why we have Patreon, too, because maybe as Patreon grows that we'll be able to, you know, hire a producer or have a producer there. That way we can try to incorporate, like, as much as, like you said, Clove, when we have guests, we kind of put the chat room on the side a little bit to focus on the guests. But with having support, we can bring in a producer.
Oh, there will be,
and the producer can help us, like, okay, now how do we combine having the guest and the chat?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's
yeah, there's long-term goals happening over here,
Big plans. So I know you guys do a lot of family stuff. Obviously, you have three kids, so you're going to have to do family stuff. But how do you, like, on a weekly basis, carve out time for all five of you to spend time together? And has that gotten easier or harder as the kids have gotten older?
It feels harder as they get older. Especially having a teenager, and as soon as our teenage son says you're spending a little too much time, I feel like not too much time, you know, you're always doing something on Chonilla. That's a big hint. That's like a hey, you gotta cool off.
Well, and that's, I was just gonna add to was it Shonda Rhimes' her speech?
Yeah, that was an amazing speech.
Yeah, that spoke loudly to me because she said that if I'm succeeding somewhere, I'm failing something else. And that's me and Shirley. Like, we have gone through things where our relationship has been compromised from, you know, putting our attention elsewhere, children, you know, being neglected, our show being neglected, everything that we wanted to do together. You know what I mean? Like, there's always a price and a cost that in terms of, so there's really no balancing it. It's just you kind of like out prioritize things.
Right. Like, you're not going to, and that's why I loved about her speech is that, you know, when that person asked her a question, like, oh, you're so successful. And like, look, you have Shauna Lynn and you're doing all these things. And I love what she said is that it looks that way to you, but you know, I'm not doing 100% on this. If I have to put 100% on, you know, what I'm doing in terms of television, then there's 0% that's going to my kids. Or if I'm only giving 80%, then it's only 20% to my kids. So it's
just hearing her say that though allowed me to own it too. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was really cool.
Yeah, and I think, you know, she was trying to also, I got, you know, you have to be okay with that, and then you have to just reconcile that, you know, none of us are perfect, and we have to consistently be changing our priorities so that when it's needed, we're where we need to or where we should be. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy at all. I mean, I know for us, like, you know, this whole social justice thing has completely, you know, engulfed our entire life. It's really like been such a stark change in such a short period of time. And so
we get it. I mean, it's your priority. It's your right now. It's your priority.
Yeah. So it's definitely
how has it. I know I'm going to. Is it okay if I ask questions?
Of course.
The interview changes.
Shirley did it.
What just happened? How has it changed? Like,
hey, everybody, you're hanging out at chillnail.com.
In the motherfucking Eastern time.
What?
But how has it changed? Because it was very. One day you're doing interracial John, and next day I'm like, what's this Ferguson? You know, response network. How has it affected?
It hasn't affected the John too much because for me, the John is the place where I don't have to necessarily think about that. I mean, we do touch on some of those issues, but it's a platform that I can bring funny stuff in and make fun of pop culture and talk about things that aren't necessarily that as serious. So for me, it's been almost therapeutic keeping it and knowing that it's a priority and that we always want to do it. And for us, it's also been, you know, dedicated time to talk to each other, both in the planning of it and also in actually doing the show. So that part has been pretty easy to, you know, to maintain and make sure that we're doing the John. And you guys are actually on episode 40 of the John today. So
what?
Ding. So,
so a little bit more excitement on your voice there,
too. Yeah, Drew. Ding.
Hold on. Dang. Yeah.
All right, with the bell. I love the bell. So that's been okay, but I would say just the rest of my life is kind of just fallen at the wayside, you know.
How was I guess like the having the priority of the Ferguson Response Network and race being such a hot topic within your like day-to-day communication and stuff like that. Has this affected your relationship with Drew?
Sure. I mean, I think it was a couple of weeks ago I tweeted that just like, you know, it sucks when something super shitty happens and like I don't even want to look at a white person except for I'm married to one. And that has happened to me where I was just like so... Like I had just reached, you know, the pinnacle of whether something had happened in the news and then something else had happened online. And then somebody had come at me, you know, sideways on Twitter or whatever, the amalgamation of all of these things at once. And it just would get me to like my boiling point. And so there's this like kind of situation where it's like, you know, obviously Drew's completely, you know, enlightened or whatever, and very also active in social justice in his own lane, separate from me. And even then, it just like sometimes I'm just like, I was living in that space a little bit too much, and I had to like force myself out of it and kind of, you know, kind of make sure that self-care was a consistent piece of me doing this work. Because if you burn out, it's really, which is very common, it's very easy to, because, you know, it is important issues and they are important, but you're important too. And part of Black Lives Mattering is my Black Life Matters. And if I'm going to continue doing this work, I have to make sure that I'm taking care of myself and that, you know, part of it mattering is that I don't allow myself to be in a position to be you know, emotionally compromised on a regular basis, because it's very traumatic and it can be very, you know, just even dealing with these things and talking to, you know, these mothers that have lost their children and all of this stuff. Like it's a lot. And
I just want to give you a hug right now, Leslie.
And so, yes. So it's just been about me kind of, and that's something I had to really learn, because especially when I first started the Tumblr, you know, everything happened so fast, and it went from, I just put it up and then a week later it was like 117 things, and every, you know, I had set for the form that people fill out to submit their actions. You can go to fergusonresponse.tumblr.com if you want to check that out. It would send me an email as soon as it came in. I would get a text like, oh, somebody filled out the form. And I was like, oh, fuck. And I felt like even at 2 a.m., if I heard it, I would get up and I would go and I would make, you know, put it up on the Tumblr so that, it would have maximum amount of exposure for whatever that area was, because I really wanted each of the events to be as big as possible.
And, what you're not really describing either is that the arc of it, because it sort of like snowballed quickly, the workload, you know, people were submitting things that like, hey, my action's tomorrow at noon. And they would submit it at like 1 a.m.
Right. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, this is tomorrow. I really got to get it up now, because otherwise nobody will see it and nobody will go to it. So kind of.
Are you still doing that on your own, or are you, have you reached out to get to have people help you add those forms to the page?
Yes, excellent question, Shirley. Excellent question.
I am currently.
Is it?
Sounds like you inadvertently chose a side.
I just said it was an excellent question. I didn't. Come on.
Currently, I'm the only one that puts anything on the Tumblr. But I have had times where I've had to ask for help, whether I was going to be out of town or things like that. And so I've had people, help me out from time to time. And I do have a really great volunteer developer who helps me, you know, kind of do things on the development side of things. Shout out to you, Alex. And so there's been some help, but not very much. And I do have plans for it to do other things. And I'm still kind of formulating what that is. But I also, part of that was me, like, I don't, when a form gets filled out, I don't rush to fill it out anymore. You know, I'm just one place that people can find stuff now. Whereas before, especially in the grand jury section, like, announcement around that area, I mean, none of this stuff was listed anywhere. It's the reason why I started the Tumblr in the first place. So I felt a much bigger obligation. Now there's a lot of places that, you know, actively list stuff, and people are more tuned into the hashtags and things like that now than they used to be. So I don't feel like, you know, if I don't put it up right away, that it's going to necessarily compromise the event, which is the opposite of how I used to feel. So I'm not necessarily as tied. I mean, I spend a couple hours on it every day, but so Drew's not too happy about that part.
No, I'm not spending a couple. I just think it'd be better if you had somebody that could help you do it.
It's a lot of trust to give somebody.
It's not just trust. I'm just speaking of. I've done, you know, a couple dozen here and there. I think you've had to, like, fix, like, half of them. You know, like, they're just not to your standard. Like, this isn't quite right. Yeah. You didn't do this. This isn't formatted correctly. And I admit I'm not the most detail-oriented, but
the tool's only good if people can use it.
Your bar of your standardization is quite high.
Yeah, well.
Why are you laughing?
Because you give me shit all the time about when I post and my spelling is off.
Dude, you and I have got to do a spin-off podcast. It'd be a total fucking train wreck. You know, like, Cho not so much. Iteration, meh.
What do you want to talk about? I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
Do you have anything in the notes? Did you make notes? You made fucking notes? I don't have any notes.
Let me get my lighter. Hold on a second.
Fuck you. I hate you for that. You're evil.
You should probably do that.
That could be the name of the show. Let me get my lighter. Perfect. Perfect for you guys.
I'm kind of partial to interracial. Meh.
I'm curious now. I'm sure Leslie's thinking, I wonder how that would sound.
First of all, not only would it not sound good, they'd never even get the time correct. It would be like, oh, wait, I thought you meant next Thursday. No, I thought you meant this Thursday. No, I thought you meant...
That would be even better. We'd each record our own part from the different hours, right? I'd be like, this is interracial, meh. And this is Chloe from Cho, meh.
Oh my god!
Talk about whatevs.
What are you talking about, Drew?
I don't know. What are you going to talk about? Let's talk about eating.
Do you have this Sports Illustrated that I have on my desk?
Let's talk about
on
that.
On page six. Page 6.
I'm looking at an ashtray right now.
Oh my goodness,
dude! Post-it notes—they're crazy, right? Seriously, who made post-it notes? That's awesome.
Oh my gosh!
It's like the worst show ever.
We.
But that just means we should do it. Now I'm just determined. I'm just saying. I've like talked myself into it because I think it's gonna be the worst show ever. We have to do it to make sure it's not the worst show ever.
Okay.
Overproduce it.
I have to take your word for it on that one. So we came across.
The rule is, challenge though, accepted. Not go to Leslie or myself.
Nope, no help.
Challenge accepted. No. Challenge accepted.
It'll never get done. Let me tell you something about Drew. Drew has been bitching and moaning since the day we started dating about wanting to go on a vacation to go on a houseboat on Lake whatever the fuck, Havasu or wherever it is.
Where are you going with this bullshit?
You'll see. So I have no interest in doing this trip at all. I don't like boats. I don't like water craft. And I don't have any interest in living on one for a week. But whatever. I said, hey.
Man, it's part of your DNA speaking to you.
I said, I plan all of our vacations and I plan all of our trips. You want to do this one? I will go. You have to plan everything that has to do with it. You have to do all the research. You have to handle all the payments. You have to do all the planning. And as soon as you do all of that, I'm there. I'll go. Drew.
You don't know me.
I don't know enough people that want to go in on it.
You haven't even tried. This is the most bullshit-ass excuse I've ever heard. Really? You couldn't get people to go? I doubt that highly. We got like 16 people to go to Jamaica with us 3 years ago. Excuse me, I did. So I really doubt that you can't get that many people together to go on a houseboat. My point is, I gave you your entire dream vacation on a platter. Like, yep, I'll go. And you still, it's been 17, 18 years?
Yeah, how about that?
Well, it's been a while. Just saying. Exactly.
The fuck?
So we ran across in our side of Patreon, looking at all of Chonella's creative content, Chonella's Hot Pepper Challenge, where Clove went up against the Beast.
The
coach by my mother.
The Scotch Bonnet Pepper.
If you'd put that fucker in your mouth. Dude, you were going to take a bite. I saw you on the video. You were going to just chomp it. You were like, I'm going to take a bite.
So much of it. It's insane.
No, you took a half a dime size twice.
No, three times. Didn't you do it a third time?
Yes, I did.
Yes, a third time, Drew. Times,
forgive me. Yeah. See, either way, that from when my sister makes her stew peas and she's got a scotch bonnet in it, if the pepper pops, I won't fucking touch it.
Yeah, dude, it's too spicy.
The one pepper, one scotch bonnet goes into the pot and should pull it out like a bay leaf. But if that thing pops open and the seeds and the shit gets, nope, I'm done.
Yeah, I saw other people doing this challenge, and they were basically, you know, like eating the whole like pepper.
No,
and I was like, why are you?
Why?
I'm not in it to hurt myself. I'm in it to know how hot this is with the least amount of pain as possible.
You said the thing on the video. The score.
Well, let's listen to a little piece of the video here. Here we go.
This is my mom yelling, what?
This is so you don't accidentally wipe your eye and some accident get under your nails.
So right now he's putting gloves on. And I wanted to say that as soon as I saw, I'm like, yeah, that's good. Because what happens is you touch the shit and then you touch your junk and you're fucked.
Yeah, you go to the bathroom and you're done. Done.
Leslie, are you speaking from experience?
Done.
No, mine.
No, Drew's.
I cut like, I was working at Chi Chi's. And it wasn't a Scotch bonnet, but I fucking cut up
jalapenos,
like,
right?
No, it was like a couple hundred jalapenos and then maybe like a couple hundred banana peppers. And you had to dice them by hand and cut them up for this giant ass salsa. And I did that and then I used the restroom. And at some point later, I'm washing my balls in the sink. I'm in the employee restroom. Like, oh my Christ, it's burning so bad.
Oh my God!
Don't do that.
It's no joke, man. It's a chemical burn.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it is. Again, capsaicin. Serious. What is the thing?
I don't know. Capsaicin.
I think that's
how it almost. In fact, the response is not unlike acid. Right? It's a pain response. Literally, that's the. And all right, but hit play. Right, like Clove.
So Clove's got his putting his gloves on. Here we go.
Glove up.
And then your eye falls out.
This says Clove wants to taste one of the peppers. How big of a piece would be okay to taste? She can't believe it. She says, taste. No, he won't be able to. It will kill him.
Mom's got no faith in you, dude.
No, maybe she knows he's white and white people like to test shit.
You can follow me at Clovesaurus. And the Haitian, my Haitian wife,
Shirley's just shaking her head like
a spice called pickles, and what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to reproduce that, but to start off with,
I'm calling shenanigans on how tough these Scotchbonne brothers are. Looking it up on Wikipedia, the Scoville unit for the jalapeno pepper is between 2,000 and 8,000. And supposedly the Scotch bell pepper is between 100,000 and 350,000.
Right. So just stop right there.
50 times more than a jalapeno.
Right?
Like 50 really? Times more than a jalapeno.
This is some white ass shit right here. Because well, I'm telling you right now.
It's a Caribbean.
Yes, nice. But the desire to be like, well, I want to see just how hot it is.
Oh, sure,
you
yeah.
You can't
yeah.
just take the Scoville scale to let you know. Like, you know what a jalapeno tastes like. Just times that by 50. Boom, you're there.
Just
you
touch, have, just touch imagine the, it. Touch the taser to my leg. Just for a second. Just tase me for like a second.
Just for a second, man.
Trust me. Just do it. Just
this is the jackass effect. Like Johnny Knoxville out there, like, you know.
Cher's taping it. Cher's got she's taping the whole thing.
No, who is taping, though? Is it your sister, Clove, that's taping?
No, Shirley's taping.
No, Shirley's not. Oh, you guys passed it?
And my sister.
And clearly yeah. your sister, yeah. she's down with all of this. All
yeah, Dolly
of this
did a pepper, too. Didn't she? Is her name Dolly?
Yeah, she did.
She did, yeah.
Not me.
No, no
she started sweating like crazy.
I bet. Oh,
I can't hear it.
The advice of Shirley's mom, my mother-in-law, she said to wear these gloves. Because of the oil and don't want to smear that in my eyeball. I think your cousin or
my actual balls.
Or your actual
balls. Like on a crime scene. Gotta put on gloves. EMT, put on gloves.
Wow, it's making.
Let me smell it.
No joke. Here.
He's just smelling it right now. You're already like, dude, that's hot.
Clears your sinuses.
Now, my thing is, like, wouldn't you just stop there? Like, as soon as I smell, I'm like, yeah, that Scoville shit is correct.
That's why Shirley was looking at me, just shaking her head. She was like, see, why are you continuing? You already know what is to be true right now, that this is really going to hurt and it's hot.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Just, Haitian mother.
Yes.
I've got a bulletproof vest on, bro. Just aim for the chest. It's good. It's good. Just aim for the chest. Dead center mass. I'm ready.
I broke my rib. They said that might happen.
Yo, accept the bullet.
To cut it half of, basically,
you
cut half of 10 cents.
He did a little bit more than half of 10 cents.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
It's like such
that's
a fraction lot. Of yes. a, it's not even grams. Like,
but when I saw it, I was like, dude, that's fucking crazy already right there. Just I was like, oh, hell no. That's just already crazy.
And it's like less than a pinky nail. It's so little.
Yeah, well, it's too.
That shit is hot.
Yeah, do you remember
so
when Pete?
Spicy. No joke.
When Pete was on the show, he was like, "Man, you're a pussy, man. You just like you ate this little piece." Me and my brother, we put the whole thing in our mouths, and I'm just like, "Yeah, but it's because you wanted to experience the pain. I didn't."
Every time you tell stories about Pete, I'm like, nope. That's the kind of white dude I don't let Drew hang out with.
Pete, yeah, look me up, trouble. Dude. Look me up, bro. I'm coming to Canada.
Yes.
And I'm bringing Dr. Masmooth the Mustache with me, too.
No, that Drew actually has a Pete. So that's the real issue. Oh, yes, in his life, fervently. I've tried to extract him many, many a year, but it hasn't worked yet. Just kidding. Love you. Yep.
We're going to Philly, Tom Shirley.
Long. Love you, Tom.
You'll bring and your Pete, too?
No, look, the sad thing is the city we're moving to, that's where his Pete lives.
It's perfect.
It is.
Yes.
No. Okay, here we go.
Right?
Yeah.
Top it. This
is 10 cents. She said about half of that.
Put it beside it.
I love your sister's like, no, we want actual. We don't want to see the size of it exactly.
Is anybody going to do this with me?
No,
I'll do it with you.
I'll do it
with me? Right away! Unbelievable.
I'll do the other
half. Okay. That's been a back and forth me and my sister have had since we've been kids.
Oh, just like, anybody want to do it with me? And she's like, I'm game.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah, you didn't have to challenge her. It was like triple dog dare. She's like, yeah, I'll do it. Like, wow, nice.
The only thing she did that I didn't do is drink toilet water.
What'd she do?
What? She drank toilet water. Wait yes. a second. Wait a second.
When did that come
when
out?
When was that?
Yesterday.
We were, oh my God, we had to be, oh, we were so young. And my sister was trying to tell me that toilet water was cleaner than regular water. And I was like, you're so stupid. That's going to make sense.
From the back of the toilet or the front of the toilet?
The front.
What?
cut his
So what did she like put it in a cup or what?
Dunked a cup in the toilet. And threw it
Dolly, Dolly, Dolly.
Oh. Yeah, please.
Oh boy.
Okay, we were kind of like daring each other to do stuff and only willing to do it if the first person daring was willing to do it first.
Sure. That's how daring goes.
Well, that's funny because here in this part of the video, you're like, well, we have to do it at the same time. If I see her reaction, then I'm going to totally back out. So we don't want to compromise my ability to stay on track here and keep the challenge going.
That's right.
You can't chicken out.
Time. But if I see her react to it, I might like get scared.
You just go for
which
it.
Which piece you want?
Wasn't me. Just do it.
Ready?
They're chewing it now.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Oh my god.
Like a second and a half. Heroes.
Wow.
It wasn't even 2 seconds. Right?
She's bright red already. Your face started to turn. Your entire sinus cavity is red too, Chloe.
Oh my god. If I would eat. Oh my god. And I thought that I was bad enough to eat that whole thing.
That's the thing, though. It's
but it was fast. It came like.
A.
You just said A. Just one. I did.
A booted.
Just saying. There you go.
A.
A. Just saying. A. Can't escape it.
Punch in the mouth. I've got that feeling now where it's like, if I were to eat hot food with it, it would feel like it's actually burning my mouth.
And yeah, and your lips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us about
Drink some toilet water. Clears it right up.
Clears it right up. So how was the Scotch Bonnet Pepper experience, Clove?
Oh, there's no way that my brain could accept a food being that hot because I saw the numbers, right? But you
doubted.
If jalapenos is the hottest you've tasted, it's hard to imagine anything beyond that. You know what I mean? So when I saw the numbers, I was like, oh my god, I gotta do something to make sure that I know where this bar is.
Mm-mm-mm.
So I needed to taste it.
You just had to do it.
I just had to do it.
Had to do it, dude. You just had to do it.
Had to do it.
Had to do it.
That's like the tagline to every shitty like white dude movie. You had to do it.
The hottest pepper in the world is habanero pepper.
The habanero pepper?
Yeah, it's like 200 million.
I thought it was ghost pepper.
That's in the billions of.
Yeah, I thought it was that ghost pepper was the most.
Yeah, I think you're right, Leslie. Yeah, the ghost pepper is like.
It's called ghost.
That was the pepper I cut up for that chili. It was habanero and.
Yeah,
banana
let's see.
I don't know. There's something
else. No, my shit was burning.
Trinidad has a hot one too.
Well, I don't know if it's the ghost Reaper? Pepper, but I know that there's a pepper out there that's in the billions of Scoville.
Billions?
Yeah, billions.
You don't want to know that bar, dude? You know what bar are you willing to do?
Yeah, there's a bar in Montreal, an Irish bar, a pub, and they boast the hottest chicken wings. And I was asking about them to the waitress, and she said that they're so hot that it'll ruin your night.
Whoa. Wow.
I was like, okay.
That's the best statement about how it'll ruin your night. And like, just didn't have to elaborate it. No, nothing else. Not that it's going to burn your mouth and you have like flaming diarrhea. Whatever it is, it's ruined. Your night's done.
Wow.
It's going to destroy you.
Wow. Okay.
It's hotter than you can take.
So from what I'm seeing here, it says that like a bell pepper is 0 on the scale and then moving up like pepperoncini, whatever. They have habanero at 100,000 to 350 and they have the ghost pepper at 1.5 million to 2 million.
Mm. Where is the billion? I'm still looking for that billion.
That's crazy.
You don't want to know that.
Nobody wants to know that. Nobody wants any parts of that.
That's is there one there that's a billion on that Scoville scale? No?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I was
lying.
The ghost pepper. Oh, I guess the ghost pepper is just below pepper spray.
Oh, my gosh.
Just take a squirt of Banaca. Take this pepper spray in your mouth.
The Trinidad scorpion pepper just overtook the ghost pepper recently as the hottest, according to the... Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah.
And comparing that, the Scotch Bonnet was 150 to 325, and this new Trinidad one is 1 million to 1.4. So,
oh my god,
you can't even.
Yeah,
tiny.
But you see, there's a part of my brain
that now wants to know what that is.
I need to try this. I need to know what a million Scoville tastes like in my mouth.
But why?
No. I know. There's no reason to it. It's just it's having a frame of reference.
Okay.
Do you want to get kicked in the balls too? Do you need that frame of reference? Like what it feels like to get like really like rocked fucking harder, like so hard in the balls that you like you black out for a second and you like throw up a little bit. Do you need that experience too? Is that like what experiences you? What's missing? What's on the clove bucket experience to set the bar? In fact, I'm getting out a Google Doc right now for interracial meh, and we're gonna fucking put some shit together right now.
I've been kicked in the balls a few times, so that's covered.
Check.
Yeah, I'm good. Done. I'm good.
Oh, hilarious. Well, anyways, tell people where they can find the Patreon to support you guys, because you can see videos like the Hot Pepper Challenge and a ton of other content that you can get access to by supporting Chonella. So where can they go to your website, chonella.com, or where should they find
it? Website, chonella.com, and then you click on Patreon, or one of the easiest if you do chonella.com/donate.
Great.
That's another way to get to the Patreon website.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So yeah, check that out and support them on Patreon, and you can get access to Clove showing his ass on a regular basis. It's fantastic.
Right. And when you sign up on Patreon, what is it? It's $5 and more, and you get access to the Chonella Archive.
Yeah, on our website. That's, you'll have access to the we're now what, at 509 episodes?
Wow. Something like that.
Wow. Like that.
And what is it? And if you $10 or more, you get access to the entire archive.
I think there needs to be a Patreon level where Clove will eat an entire Scotch bonnet. Like, if you get to like $1,000 a month, you got to eat a fucking pepper, dude.
I'll do it.
Hospital or thing.
I'll help you promote it.
Y'all have free healthcare up there. You're good.
When I hear that, all I'm thinking is, if he does it, then guess who has to take care of him?
Yeah,
me.
That's true.
And I'm not going to do it. He's going to go to the hospital. I'll go to the nurse. I say, he had a bright idea. And now it's on you to take care of him, because not doing it.
See, I don't really do spicy at all. Like everything, I'm not like, I can do like a spice level like 1.5, 2. Like I just too much for me. Like I don't even put Tabasco on anything. And we're in Jamaica and they're having a barbecue at night. It's like dark. It's on the beach and there's a grill. And I just see this grill full of fucking shrimps, like big U8 shrimps. I grab one and I like everything. I don't even like. Put a little bit. Just put the entire shrimp in my mouth.
He was like, oh, they said that was spicy. Let me just get this big ass scoop of it and throw it in my mouth, because I have no idea. Me, I'm like, can I get a little bit on a toothpick?
I'm the dude that eats the entire ball of wasabi.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm like, oh, this is how spicy it is. So I put this fucking shrimp in my mouth. And just like you, right away, instantly, I'm like, oh my God.
He started dying
just
immediately.
Just sweat, just profusely. I don't think I've ever sweat more in my life.
I had to start taking pictures. He turned so
I looked like
red.
Such a mess. I looked like absolute just a travesty. God. So we're going to leave. And Leslie's like, she's taking all these pictures of me, right? She's like, ha ha, look at you, ha ha ha. I'm like, literally just like, I gotta go back to the room. I gotta take a shower. Like, I'm literally just dying. I'm fucking dying. And she goes by. She goes, is this the shrimp you should? Let me take a picture of the shrimp. She goes to take a picture of the shrimp. And it's like pre, like, you know, internet, phone, whatever it is. So we have a camera. And the flashlight's up. She goes,
Holy shit.
Did we look at the picture?
I go, we go bring us over to the light. And we bring over to the light. And I'm not kidding you. The shrimp was so bright red. It was like glowing.
Neon red.
It was like, wah. I could hear it. It was like, wah, wah, wah.
Like angry red. Angry
like
red shrimp.
Angry. I was like, you just took a giant bite of that? You're fucking stupid.
I mean, you can see it. Everything about the color of that shrimp was like, don't fucking eat me. Don't eat me. You burn the fuck out of you.
Do not eat me.
Do not eat this shit. It's hot as fuck.
It's dangerous enough.
Yeah. Hundreds of thousands of years of evolution has told you that
is not the color I want to eat. Not that color.
I still do that. I'm like, hey, what's this? Put the whole thing in my mouth. Like, wow, it's got this thing I hate. Well, why'd you put the whole thing in your mouth? I don't know. I'm fucking, how's it going to taste it?
I did that. I did that once with.
I appreciate you, white people, man. You wouldn't know half the shit.
Yeah,
it's true. It's true.
Experiment just that innate thing of testing nature.
When I was in Vancouver, we went to a sushi spot, and I had a sushi called Uni. Have you had that?
I have. I don't eat sushi.
It's sea urchin. Oh. Okay. So it's the bottom. It's the life that feeds off of what's left over falling to the bottom of the floor of the ocean. Okay.
He's like a toilet. It's like a walking toilet.
Yes, it is a toilet. It is a self-sustaining toilet. Yes. And it's the filter of the ocean. Yeah. It's like what gets caught in our nose, like the boogers, because that's a filter. That's like the ocean's filter.
He's the ocean's
filter. Booger. Yes. So I took this, and I never saw, because the texture, the color of it, I never saw it on sushi before, and I thought it might have been kind of like egg-ish, you know what I mean? Like, because it had like an egg color to it.
Sounds lovely.
And I just threw it in my mouth, and I'm not kidding you, it was like licking the inside of a fish tank that was covered in algae. And the whole aroma went up into my nose. Disgusting. It was absolutely the worst thing.
It does have an absolute, like, if there's like, is this like kind of fishy? Is this a little bit fishy? Sea urchin. Uni might be the fishiest of the, it's up there. Have you ever had the sea urchin roe, the eggs? Oh my God. And they put that all the time on it. And you think like, oh, is this caviar? I was like, nope, that's fucking sea urchin eggs. That tastes horrible.
If a taste could punch you in the face, it would be, yeah.
Actually, punch you in the balls, I think, is more appropriate. Yes. Yes.
Ugh. All right. So, punch in the balls, off the list. Check. Sea urchin, uni, fishbowl, fucking algae check. Licking. Check.
Toilet bowl. We already gave that one up. So check on that. Yeah. Uh huh.
It's good.
Yeah. Okay.
Good.
Making now it I know happen. What you don't want to do. Making shit I'm afraid happen. Of the we could still do it list.
I can die happy now.
We got going so much with our brother and sister Clove and Shirley that we needed to break this episode up into two parts. So this is the end of part one. And again, if you do not know that already, you can find the Interracial John on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Just search Interracial John. That's J-A-W-N. Or you can check out our website, interracialjohn.com. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Tumblr at Interracial John. Again, J-A-W-N. You can find me on Twitter at Leslie Mack and my cohort at Very White Guy. And you can find the Chonella podcast. Just go to chonella.com, search Chonella on really anything. You can find them, just search them on Facebook. You can find the forum that way. You can search on just Google, just search for Chonella. And on Twitter, you can go to at Chonella, or you can find Sharasaurus. You can find Shirley there, or Clovisaurus. You can find Clove there on the Twitters. So stay tuned for episode 2, which will be coming up in a couple of days. And included there, we get into some shenanigans regarding that Twitter game. We talk about cops Canadian style. We go into a short Canada quiz. We get into a Black Lives Matter theology discussion and talk about the mass murderer that Drew was best friends with in his childhood. Stay tuned.